I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Yes, it's a new episode of the Football Ramble. Ah, Fulham, we've missed you. It's Wednesday the 5th of August. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Vidushina Hunter-Raja.
Plenty of time, Vish, and plenty of wholesomeness from Scott Parker. Can you tell me he is the most wholesome man in football, isn't he? Please don't tell me he's not.
No, he's very wholesome. I mean, I know obviously you grew up without a TV because all you did was like practice violin and somehow watch Spurs in some horrific like child, like called it style, like tragic backstory, but you probably won't remember this, but Scott Parker was he was in a McDonald's advert, wasn't he, when he was a kid?
Yes, he was, yeah.
And he was sort of tipped to go on and be a pro, and he was just doing kick-ups in his garden,
yes.
And someone went,
I have seen this.
Yeah, right, okay, cool.
Latterly.
Yeah, obviously.
Now I have access to the internet.
Yeah.
They recorded two versions of that advert as well. There's one where he gets a Big Mac and one where he gets a superior fillet of fish, but the world wasn't ready for that. That's what I'm saying.
Maybe we'll see that soon.
Shamefully, I always thought it was a fillet of fish.
Yeah, I did too.
You're a good You enunciate, don't you?
I know, but it's not, is it? It's a fillet. It must be.
Filet o' fish as well. It's actually quite a complicated
filet
thing
fish.
To say.
Yeah, people think it's Irish, but it's not. It's actually the surprise. Oh, it's actually fish when it isn't, obviously. But yeah, so that's how the name came about. Yeah,
your name. Filet-O-Fish.
Yeah, my dad got drunk on Filet-O-Fishes and was like, just chuck all the A's in it.
The rest is vistry. but yeah, I think he is, I think to answer the original question, I think he is actually quite a wholesome man. Oh. I don't think he expected to be in this situation either, did he, Scott Parker? He sort of stepped in as a favour. Yeah. It's kind of gone really well.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's exactly it, because I think what he was speaking about yesterday are sort of the unspoken things of management. Not just, you know, we obviously know that you win one game and then you know, that buys you, what, a day before you're thinking about the next game, and then defeat, you're suddenly a fraud out of nowhere, which is what he said as well. But the fact that he was like, now I can go be, like, I've got a bit of time to be a dad and a husband.
Aww.
But it, you know, those are the quandaries of management, really, aren't they? You get very little time off. And, I, you know, in the last couple of years, we've seen managers be a bit more open about their personal side of things. For example, Steve Bruce when he was given that job at Sheffield Wednesday and then went to watch England play cricket and then Caribbean, because he said he was always going to do that with his dad.
Yeah.
And his dad passed away, so he wanted to do that in honour of him. And you know, there are a few people who were like, oh, you know, you take a job, Sheffield Wednesday need you now. But I think as football generally, we're a bit more attuned to that kind of emotional side of it. Mm. And even, you know, Amy Martinez on the weekend talking about wanting to do right by his parents and winning a medal. And so, like, that's the kind of wholesomeness we need now more so than ever.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it was lovely endearing. To see. So endearing. And of course, what we are talking about is Fulham being promoted to the Premier League after their 2-1 win. 2-1 it was in the end. I'm not sure if that slipped by you. But anyway, of Brentford, who were, let's not forget, the favourites and had beaten them on aggregate, if you like, 3-0 in the regular season. So congratulations, Fulham. Congratulations, Marcus. You did your bit. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Good to see them back in the Premier League.
Yeah, always nice to have a Marcus up there in the Premier League.
There are some already.
There's another one now, isn't there, with his support. But yeah, it wasn't a brilliant advert for what we can expect, was it? It was a surprisingly sort of damp affair for the playoff final, because finals are often cagey, but the playoff final tends to be pretty good. Maybe it really lacked the fans there because the tension is so high in that game. But yeah, it wasn't great. I thought Fulham were quite clever in how they sort of contained Brentford for most of it. They sort of, it felt like in the first half they certainly penned them in a little bit, and then the second half they held them off. It always felt like they were sort of dictating what was going on in the game, even if it wasn't that high on quality.
You can't tell, can you, when you're watching a game of football sometimes, if your projection of what is happening is what you're seeing. As in, to me, it looked as though they were both just wetting themselves in the first half. First half or so. But perhaps that was just because you know what's riding on it. It's the old, like, most expensive game in football.
The nerves did seem really pronounced. And I've grown up in Ealing, so I've got quite a few mates who are Brentford fans. I've watched them a few times when I was growing up. And even with my kind of, you know, mild supporting of them last night, I could only think that I would hate to properly support a team in that kind of game. And I know it's a privilege saying that as a Manchester United fan, obviously. But with so much riding on it, and with it so reflective in the players as well, it was really stark. And, you know, obviously we've had enough, well, we've had a few finals without fans. And so, as you said, we project what we want onto the game. But, yeah, it really did seem like Brentford in particular, who've been playing really slick football, As in the way the regular season ended, as soon as it became real, as soon as the prospect of going to the Premier League was so real, they, I don't want to say bottled it, but they came unstuck from the nerves, and yesterday was another great example of that, sadly.
For me, it was the most bizarre game without the fans, I thought, of all the ones that I've seen. Because the Championship playoff final is such a carnival affair normally at Wembley. I've been to a few of them, and it's always just so, feels so mad and wild and unhinged and silent.
Especially the derby as well. It's annoying. We'll never get that experience back, even as neutrals. Like, it's generally great as a neutral, but a derby as a neutral, like watching the playoff final, would have been brilliant as well. I've got to say, I think the real winners, apart from Fulham, are Deloitte, because their marketing department saved them a fortune in sponsoring the Championship every single year by just putting out a little calculation of what that game's going to be worth. And then in the build-up, the whole narrative is, did you see what Deloitte said? It's like, yeah, they say it every year. Stop it. Stop this.
Speaking of which, they on Sky they were saying that the cost of the starting 11 of Brentford was £30 million, which is about, or less than a tenth of, for example, Liverpool's,
which is a flat in Fulham, yeah.
Yeah. Great point. I wonder if that's how it's worked out. Their ninth playoff campaign, of course, Brentford, all these friends of yours. And generally, I think, you know, Brentford were the neutral's choice, weren't they? Because
the story's
it's nice
great.
To see someone who's not been in the Premier League up there, and that exciting football that they've been playing, although not in evidence last night.
Actually, you know what? I think that might be what the neutral Premier League fan wanted. But I know that from within the Championship, there's a lot of frustration that, you know, that this plucky little Brentford story's come along, and actually, you know, they're about to move into a new stadium, and they have spent money and stuff. But all the same, you know, that's an option for all clubs. So I personally would have loved to see them get up. But I feel like Fulham's experience showed on the day, which was unusual because that's not what people were expecting from when the two clubs had met earlier in the season. But it feels like, you know, Scott Parker just got them where they needed to be in time. And, you know, the psychological damage of a relegation, especially in the manner that Fulham were relegated last season, because they were just the whipping boys, it's got to be a very, very difficult thing to get over. And for them to get up for that and get back up in the same season, I don't think anybody was, even when the playoffs were, you know, the lineups were announced, like anyone was expecting Fulham to be the team that came through it. So it's impressive. And you would hope that suffering a relegation so recently, they'd be better prepared this time. Probably, I doubt they'll buy an entire new team this time, like they did last time. They've got to take a different approach, you would think.
Yeah, they have quite a few loan signings that they'll need to either make permanent or replace, so they will have to spend some money. Parker's an interesting one, obviously, because his chat yesterday was really good, and he set up Fulham really well yesterday, and obviously had a hand in the Joe Bryan goal, certainly in the planning of it. He hasn't had the best of seasons. I've watched Fulham a few times for work and I haven't particularly been impressed by them because the games I've seen, and it's a very, very small sample size, they've just won by having better players rather than having a better system or doing things a different way. So they're kind of the antithesis of what Brentford have become, really. So it'll be interesting. It'll be a real, obviously, be in the Premier League full-time, you know, certainly from pre-season into this next season for the first time in his career. So it'll be interesting to see how he approaches that and how he changes the way they play, because they can't just simply get by having someone like Tom Kearney or being able to call on Mitrovic, as they did for a few minutes yesterday.
Knockout as well. Yeah, like, what happens there? He is one of the, like, people say that the Huckabee zone should be renamed the knockout zone, the sort of too good for the Championship, although I don't know if that's true anymore, not quite good enough for the Premier League thing. Like, I mean, what do Fulham... This shows my sort of very unscientific approach to management, which is why I'm not a football manager by any stretch. Like, does it curse you to have him? Like, do you get rid of him? Do you stick with him and think, actually, now maybe for the ninth or tenth time, maybe you are ready to make the step up to the Premier League? It's an interesting way to look at building your squad, isn't it? In the situation they're in, where they've come down, come back up again through the playoffs, and they know exactly how hard it is.
Yeah, and then they've got a lot of the same players, and there's no reason why actually that it couldn't happen to them again. I think, you know, we look to
go down again, you mean?
Yeah, go down straight again. Because if you look at the teams that came up the previous season, Norwich City and Aston Villa, well, obviously Norwich City got relegated, Aston Villa cut it very fine, and they both played exactly the same way they did in the Championship. Mm. And while it was entertaining to a point, I think there was, you know, the flaws are clear them to see, and I think Fulham will have exactly the same problem. The only thing, you know, after what I just said about how it didn't seem like they had a particularly coherent plan all the way through the season, the only thing that might work in their favour is the fact that because of that, they might just have to start from scratch because they can't play how they did in the Championship because there was no real rhyme or rhythm to it. So, yeah, maybe that'd be of a benefit to them. You know, someone like Tom Kearney, I think, is probably just above the Huckabee knockout zone in terms of someone who's clearly an exceptional midfielder who can play as a number 10 or play in a deep lying role as he has for most of the season for Fulham. He might be someone who could really come into his own and actually grow into the Premier League a bit more than he has.
Mm.
And of course they have in their left back, Joe Bryan, they also have a striker. Yeah. So, you know, pretty useful.
Goal machine.
Yeah.
He was really funny in the post-match as well, wasn't he?
He was not a bit just naughty, wasn't he?
Yeah. He went, it was absolutely Fulham. Yeah. Like I forget who it was that was doing the post match. He said to him, "How did you have the energy for that second goal?" He's like, "I am quite fit." And I like that. I really enjoyed that. It's like, you know, I am a professional athlete. Like, running about is sort of what we do. I enjoyed that, even if it is a little bit snippy.
It was great athleticism, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a brilliant goal.
Finishing it, having also done the kind of mental gymnastics. Do we call it that? Of his free kick. I don't know. It was really enjoyable as a free kick. Although, of course, poor David Raya. I thought he had a pretty good game apart from that.
He did. He said it was a mixture of Scott Parker and his dad that prepped him for that.
Oh,
wasn't
it? Yeah.
It was really sweet.
That was great.
Parker had pointed out that Raya tends to do that. I think he even said that he leaves a ridiculous gap. He used the word ridiculous, which you can only agree with because they're so vulnerable to that.
Whereas Parker in the post-match said... we've seen that Raya is quite aggressive in his stance on free kicks. So there, I think you see the difference between the managerial and the player's perspective on how football works. Yeah. I thought that was quite sweet.
And his dad used to give me the eyes in the park. That's just very sweet, isn't it? I generally like the media around the Championship. It feels subtly different from all the Premier League stuff. It's a little bit more, it's a bit more kind of earthy. Like I like the way Gary Weaver enunciates. Like, he's like a bingo caller. It's like, Ollie Watkins. It's just constantly speaking like that.
The access is a bit better. I wonder if that's part of it. You end up hearing more of these stories. And on that, like Brian's an interesting one because there's an interview with him in The Athletic that was done during lockdown. And it was talking about, you know, what he's been getting up to. And he was like, oh, I've been reading Why I'm No Longer Talking to White People About Race. He is, you know, he's originally from Bristol. So he was reading up about Edward Colston and things like that. And like the merits of having a statue up. He said he went to his local coffee shop and spoke to two Polish baristas on British history, basically. And they asked him, you know, why don't they teach you about all this stuff in school? And he's like, well, we just don't get that over here. So he's kind of, he's had a pretty incredible lockdown as far as that goes. And also on the subject of fitness, he spent a lot of time running. He said in that same interview that, oh, I've been running a lot during lockdown, and I've got some of his times here. He ran a 5K in 17 minutes 20, and all the Fulham, his teammates were like, oh, you know, when did you turn into a middle distance runner? And he's like, I kind of haven't really, yeah. But he just... We saw it there, didn't we? Well, yeah. It was 117 minutes on the board and he's bursting through from left back.
It's funny, isn't it?
Incredible.
That's quite, in a way, that's risky because, you know, you're leaving your position open to take the risk that you're going to go and score, which he obviously did. But then Brentford scored late on. So you think, this guy's got everything. He can read the future. He knew they needed another goal.
Yes, yeah.
So he burst through.
The David Raya thing is quite interesting, isn't it? Because... I had to watch it a few times to come to the conclusion that he wasn't to blame. And I think that, you know, the more we look into it and the more the information that comes out about the fact that they planned it before and also looking back through the season and showing why his aggressive positioning, quote unquote, was a good thing for what Brentford want with their higher line. I think deep down, though, he will find it hard to forgive himself.
Yeah.
And I think actually that's probably the most important thing in it because there was already, I think the narrative already moved on from, oh, what's he doing at his near post to actually fair play, that's a brilliantly executed goal from Fulham and obviously very well planned. But the thing will be on his head. And, you know, obviously he'll get the help that he needs from his teammates and from everyone else. But I think that's the crucial thing, really. That's the only thing that matters, whether he'll forgive himself for what was just being on the wrong end of quite an inspired bit of football.
Yeah, quite. Someone else who's suffering today is Tom, who tweeted us. He says, I love you guys, but I unfortunately won't be listening today as I'm currently still sat here wondering how we, Brentford, obviously, had three chances to get promoted to the Premier League and screwed them all. And I can't hear any more about it. See you on Thursday.
No. Do download the show anyway, though, Tom.
I'll skip.
Just, yeah, just you don't have to listen to it. Just download it.
Yeah, we'll give you a timestamp for when we stop talking about Brentford.
Perfect. I think it might actually be now.
What time have we got on the clock?
15 minutes.
I was going to say if he's listening, skip, but he would have had to already skip this, wouldn't he?
It's very difficult. It's like, if you've heard this, if you don't want to know the scores, look away now. It's a podcast. What are you going to do? Little word from Wigan, if we skip down the league. I was going to say down the championship, but sadly, I'm afraid Wigan fans, no longer the championship because Wigan will... definitely be relegated. I mean, it looked pretty clear that they would, but they had their 12-point deduction and that was upheld last night. So they finish on 47 points after that, which means 23rd place. And that means that they will be going down to League One. Some confusion about, for me anyway, I don't know if you what you guys think about how it's been put together. But of course, Sheffield Wednesday also have a points deduction, but they aren't receiving it until next season. I mean, I'm sure it's all very clear and full of rules, but it just seems like a slightly confusing situation. But basically, they've gone to a panel and have ruled that deduction will stand for Wigan. So they're going to be a League One side next season.
Horrible situation there because they were taken over during the pandemic, weren't they? And then this has happened so quickly. It's what a sort of whirlwind of awfulness. Poor Wigan.
Yeah, grim. I think the situation with Sheffield Wednesday is that because they finished like a certain number of points ahead, or actually, no, not at all. So generally, the reason it was applied to Wigan was because, well, why is it applied this season is because they finished outside the relegation zone. And so obviously it took them into it. But yeah, it's very grim. And I kind of hope we haven't heard the last of this, if you know what I mean, because as we just discussed now, the situation around that takeover and how they entered administration so soon afterwards is very fishy indeed. Yeah,
it's absolutely baffling, basically. But yeah, you're right, Vish. We're gonna keep our eyes on that one and perhaps talk more about it in future as more comes to light. Something I'm afraid we are talking about again today. And, you know, frankly, it's probably the least we can do to keep talking about it a little bit as time goes on, because it keeps happening. Other words of Danny Rose, who talks about how he feels he's been racially targeted by police who stop his car very regularly when driving. He says he's regularly pulled over and questioned each time. This is a quote from him. Each time it's, is this car stolen? Where did you get this car from? What are you doing here? Can you prove that you bought it? He said this on the Second Captain's podcast and mentioned that this has been happening since he was 18. So I just want to draw attention to it a bit because, of course, this is a man who, let's not forget, plays for England at football, which is, you'd have thought, one of the most high profile and protected kind of positions you can be in as a young man. And yet he's on the end of this all the time. What does it mean for everyone else?
Yeah, I mean, it's something we know happens, you know. It's not like it's stop and search. It's not exactly a surprising thing. We know that the black people are pulled over if they have nice cars. It's a sad fact of society. But you hear, like, it does shock you every time you hear about it. And it's particularly shocking coming from somebody as high profile as Danny Rose. And I really like how Danny Rose is so honest in his interviews. He quite often talks about the negative side of playing football, which you don't hear that much. And you know, I think he's a really, really interesting character. And he's sometimes criticised for being a little bit dour, but I think that's nonsense. I think personally, he's great. And I think you're right, Kate. Like, we do need to keep talking about this. And I think it's good that he's kept the ball in the air, because it's, you know, the sort of Black Lives Matter narrative is dying down in the media a little bit at the moment, and it shouldn't, it can't, it needs to, while this stuff happens, it needs to be called out.
I think the other element to this is Danny Rose the person, and as Jim just mentioned, I think what happens when you have someone who is outspoken, you're always seen as someone who just causes a bit of trouble, because everything you say seems to make headlines, because you're quite unique in that regard. A lot of footballers kind of put their head down and kind of, you know, just deal with the shit that you take for being a footballer and kind of pass it off, and they tend to mesh everything in together, whereas Danny Rose is kind of someone who, I'll take the criticism for playing poorly, but also that doesn't mean that this criticism isn't allowed. This doesn't mean that you can call me this, you can call me that. And I think you can tell there was a definite shift in Danny Rose. I think it's maybe about 5 or 6 years ago where he clearly just had enough of football and the general rigmarole of being in the public eye. And this is another example of that. As you know, he's not the first person. He's not the first black person to be stopped for having a nice car. He won't be the last. But the fact that is someone who, Kate, you mentioned is an England fullback, is so very well known that you think he could walk down the street just outside and be stopped for all the right reasons, for autographs and selfies and stuff like that. So yeah, it's great that he's highlighting it, especially in his position, because footballers, we talk of being coddled and privileged in some way, but here is a bloke who has fulfilled his dream and yet is still being dragged down by the colour of his own skin.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose it's important to say as well that clearly there are lots of nuances in the context of this sort of police stop and search process. And I'm, you know, they obviously have a hard job to do as well. The police, you know, I don't want to sound as though, you know, it's all a one-way thing, but he just was using this as an illustration, Danny Rose, of the stuff that, as you say, Vish, that he has to put up with all the time. And he, the other thing he said was, whenever I do talk about this, I hear people say, well, you're on this money, so just get on with it. It's like, well, that's not really good enough.
No.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a contemptible concept, that, isn't it? That if you earn well, then, you know, you deserve anything that comes your way. That has nothing to do with effectively your personality or your character or who you are.
The what you mentioned there earlier, Jim, about the Black Lives Matter dialogue dialing down, I think that's why stuff like this is so important, because actually this isn't something that has come out off the back of Black Lives Matter. This wasn't a cause, or this wasn't a particular kind of incident that fueled that movement, but off the back of the Black Lives Matter movement, people are more attuned to these kind of microaggressions that do exist. So the fact that Danny Rose is even going on a podcast talking about this is quite good because obviously more and more people like Danny Rose and all the way down who have been affected by these microaggressions will feel more comfortable about talking about it. I think, you know, you see a lot of... we've sort of seen very different offshoots of this beyond football as well. For example, black women talking about the issues that they have as women and how certain parts of feminism don't really cater to them or they feel left out by certain parts of it. So this all kind of ties in together. Like we're all moving in the right direction. We're all talking about it openly. And this is kind of a step towards progress, even if it does come from hearing something as difficult as that.
All right, guys, let's head to a break. Coming up, we're going to be heading also to Europe. We're going to be talking about the likes of Willian, Alexis Sanchez and a certain nearly former Southampton player. See you in a minute.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
All right, welcome back, gang. We are on transfers. This part, yes, get ready. Vish is on vigorous form. He's had a coffee. He's on high alert.
I still have my coffee. It's got kind of cold, but it's that quite nice cold. It's that lukewarm coffee.
That's weird, mate.
See, I'm okay with coffee being cold if I know it's cold. Right, if I, you know, have a frappuccino or an iced coffee, great, fine.
Gotta be.
But if I drink a cup of coffee and expect the coffee to be warm and it's cold, it's like the most disgusting thing that's ever happened to my mouth.
No, the most disgusting thing that can happen...
No.
You're wrong.
I'll tell you what's the most disgusting thing that's going to happen to... Okay.
The most disgusting thing you can accidentally drink is fizzy water when you think you're drinking still water.
Oh, I would... Yeah, that's high up there. I'm not a fan of sparkling water.
No, nor am I. But people drink it like Kate. I bet Kate says... I don't even have to look at you, Kate. You're a fizzy water fan.
No, no, no. This is just your bigotry coming into play once more.
You have it with your olives and your batons.
No, I don't have
and all
it.
Those things that people like when they're adults.
Oh, no, I don't drink. I'm a tap water for
radio
the table
four,
kind of girl.
You're Radio 4 nope. Fizzy water.
Too shouty.
Olives.
You can't wake up to Radio 4, can you? Blah, blah, blah. Answer the question.
But basically, yeah, that's my coffee's now cold.
Oh. Well, but, sad ending.
But I like it that way.
Oh.
But
twist.
What's hot is... Oh, no. It doesn't really work if you like it cold. What's hot is our transfer segment.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes.
Sizzling. Absolutely sizzling.
Let's talk about Willian, shall
Let's
we?
Let's talk about Willian.
Actually, the theme of this, just to you know, bring our attention here at the top. The theme of this transfer segment today is Jose Mourinho.
Okay.
So see how that all pieces together as we go along. Let's right start then. With Willian.
Let's see what you got, Dreamweaver.
As who he brought to Chelsea under the nose of Maurizio Pochettino. If only he could have looked to the future, much like Joe Bryan, and seen that he would want the damn player later in his time. But anyway, Willian.
Yeah, so there's a new tradition, new FA Cup rule. I don't know if you guys have... It's not really been widely reported, but now apparently the losing side of the FA Cup have to give the winners a player. And Arsenal selected Willian.
Is that the one you would choose? Seem.
I'm surprised that Mikel Arteta's going for Willian, even in this kind of quite flimsy premise or in reality. I do think it's a funny one. Arsenal have to be really clever with how they use the transfer market because they're going to have to sell to buy, and obviously there's a lot of uncertainty over Aubameyang, and the transfer policy will be very different based on whether he stays or goes. Silk is selling Lacazette, and also there's talk that Aubameyang wants Dembele, and that's really quite complicated. William makes a lot of sense in a lot of ways. In the right now, he's a very good player. He's a very experienced player. He will bring a lot to the team, and he'll bring a lot to those young players. But on a 3-year deal, on what I assume will be very good money, given that he's, signing on a free, potentially, could that just create another problem further down the line where you've got a high earner on your books that maybe isn't bringing to the team what they should be, that you can't really shift? So it's a confusing one. I'm sure the club will have plans in place for that, but I think it's a good indication that there's a lot of talk of Arsenal sort of going in for big name players, and I take it with a pinch of salt because I think being clever, signing younger players, possibly some loan players, talk of another loan for Ceballos, and getting quite canny signings in a short term sense like this is probably what's going to be the reality of Arsenal's transfer window.
But the system at Arsenal, it seems to be at the moment, do you not feel that there is a system and there is theory and practice? But does that stop at Mikel Arteta?
Yeah, I think there is, that this is an example of it, and that it, encouragingly actually, it does seem to be being led by Arteta, because that's been some of the issues in recent years, especially with Emery, sort of like with a lot of change at the board, board level. And apparently he really, really wants Willian. And I trust Arteta. He clearly has a plan. He's starting to execute it. And it's clearly the last weekend was a success. The rest of the season has been positives in it, although it's been complicated. And I think, you've got to give a manager time. If he wants a player like Willian and he's available, let's see how that pans out.
Yeah, Willian is absolutely right now a very good player. Mm. I think the key things that underpin his qualities, creativity, and his ability from set pieces as well is the fact that he's a hard worker.
Mm.
And having someone that experienced in a squad that's still fairly young, it ties into some of the decisions that Arteta's already made, even keeping on David Luiz, which obviously we've mocked a few times on this very show.
I was about to say, why do you need Willian when you've got David Luiz? Come
exactly,
on, people.
Yeah. But the one thing I wonder about Willian is the wages thing. And what is the opportunity cost of his signing? For example, what are Arsenal going to miss out on by basically handing someone, 250 grand a week?
Mm.
If it's anything anywhere near that,
quite
considering the parameters they're going to have to work in and the difficulties it will be signing players in a quote unquote pandemic window, and the fact that of all the top teams who have been relatively untouched by the financial issues around the COVID-19, Arsenal are at the lower end of that. Mm. Arsenal, by winning the FA Cup, have done themselves a huge favour by even getting some of that Europa money as well. But where do they... I can't see the long-term thinking about it. And maybe because there isn't any, and that can be a good thing. You don't necessarily need to sign someone to resell them. Arteta needs someone to come in, be a good player for a season and a half, 2 seasons, and have an influence on the young players that he has.
Yeah, and then prepare that squad to re-establish itself as a top 4 team.
Yeah, exactly. And I think one of the offshoots of this might be what will happen to Mesut Ozil, because surely if...
Yeah, I was going to say, what a bargain. He's only, two-thirds as much a week as Mesut Ozil. And
a million quid
perfect.
Every 3 weeks. Million quid every
what
3 weeks.
What a bargain.
Brilliant.
Absurd, yeah. Do you want to go... I think we're probably going to have to furlough you, Mesut. you're not doing that. Yeah, so I wonder if this will accelerate that, because it sounds like, Jimmy, you'll know this, so Ozil wants to stay.
Mm-hmm.
They want rid of him. They're not really sure who to get rid of him to. And cancelling his contract, even with a year left, is going to be pretty pricey.
Up front, that would really have a bad effect on what business Arsenal could do. Yeah, it's a strange one. It's interesting that Ozil wants to stay.
North London's Gareth Bale.
Yeah,
North
very
London's
much so.
New Gareth Bale.
Yeah. But it was a really interesting piece in The Athletic yesterday about how both Emery's tactics and Arteta's tactics just don't suit the way Ozil plays because, you know, in a possession-based team, Ozil is obviously fantastic. And there's been decline on his part as a player as well. Of course, he's not the same player he was when he joined, which is fair enough.
I saw him track back once, was it Leicester?
He probably saw a mate in the stand.
I think he dropped something and he said, where is my iPhone?
but yeah, it looks as if Ozil really wants to dig his heels in, then he'll be able to, and he'll be able to say and trouser that money. But I just feel like
trouser.
Really,
great, you said trouser.
Trouser that money.
It is what it is, isn't it? And I just feel like he's got to have a look at the reality of this situation. He's not going to get game time at Arsenal. Well, Arteta's unlikely to change his entire philosophy to fit him back in for a season. So I think he needs to have some personal integrity and think, look, I'm coming to the end of my career here. This is a season I'm never going to get back. So if I want to play, if I actually want to play for as much as possible for the remainder of my career, I need to go somewhere else. And that's not that simple, is it? If you settled in London and there's talks that you would only entertain the idea of the USA or Turkey, but I don't really know where that comes from. So it's hard to give that any credibility, but it is a situation that needs resolving. And I don't know, I'm resigned to the idea that he will stay. He'll come back in for a little bit of time in the season because perhaps Arsenal will have a few results that, you know, the lack creativity in the way the games pan out, and people go, what about Ozil? We've got this amazing player. He'll get called up again. He'll do well for a bit. He'll fall out of the team for whatever reason, and the cycle continues on and on and on, and somehow we'll get a new contract, and this is some sort of purgatory that we live in.
I think with Ozil, I look at someone who's clearly lost the love of football for a variety of reasons, for what's happened at Arsenal, for how things ended Germany. So I see what you mean. He does need to move on, but I wonder if he's just fed up of it. Yeah.
Someone you probably feel a little bit more fondly about, Jim, is Alexis Sanchez, who we're going to talk about now. Talks advanced to cancel his contract at United. That's got 2 years left to run, an unbelievably long time, you'd think.
Yeah.
And the idea being that he can join Inter on a free, much like Aaron Ramsey did, went to Juventus, massive wages, but at no upfront cost. He's only scored 3 Premier League goals for United since he moved from Arsenal in January 2018.
Yeah, it's
but he is a great player.
Well, he was a great player, wasn't he?
Been doing all right as long as he's not at United.
Yeah, I mean, he was doing all right at Inter, wasn't it? Was it 3 goals and 1 sending off for diving? I think it's not been like that spectacular. No, he's had an injury and he only plays something like between 20 and 30 times. So, you know, there are mitigating circumstances. But I think actually, you know, I'm sure you'd agree with me, they've got to cancel his contract, right? Because the 2 years remaining is worth 55 million quid and that you're not getting anything out of him at this point, right? Like, you're going to... Presumably, cancelling a contract isn't cheap, but it's not going to cost 55 million, surely.
Do you think him and Ozil in the same gold-plated WhatsApp group? Just like, this is a laugh, isn't it?
Yeah. They've probably got people who send WhatsApps for them.
Yeah, certainly. No,
so they can
true.
Do as much nothing as possible.
But I bet they both have blue ticks off as well, which is a different matter. the thing about Sanchez, and it's good that you as an Arsenal fan are here, because for United, he obviously wasn't great at all. For the outlay, for the wages, I think United were clutching at their status as a big club.
He never seemed like he was providing something United were missing at the time, did it? It seemed an odd choice.
But beyond a bit of star quality, and to say that they beat Manchester City to his signing, who's laughing now? I think the other part of that, though, I should say, is the fact that...
Sorry to cut in. Pep at the time said he cost too much for City, which we all laughed about, but turns out it's true.
And also, there's another thing as well, that Pep actually said that recently, when people were talking about the FFP issues and the fact that... the fact that people are talking about Man City buying the league and this, that and the other. Sanchez and Manchester United are one of the examples he always uses. So it's very convenient for them as well. And I think with Sanchez, he came into a Mourinho team where Mourinho likes his wingers to work very, very hard, which is why he loves Willian. Mourinho loves Willian. With Sanchez, though, United were buying a striker, essentially. He was a striker at Arsenal. He... had this... There was this facade around Sanchez that he was a really hard worker, because whenever he'd get the ball, he'd always be at fucking 100 miles an hour. But if you look at the stats that were his most productive games at Arsenal, he would often be at the lower end of distance covered, and randomly Ozil would actually be quite high on that list.
Because it's the pace that tricks people, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And because basically he would conserve his energy and he would have willing runners around him, and therefore he would come alive in the final third, which is why he scored so many goals. United signed him in January of 2018? Yeah, 2018. The season before that, he was Arsenal's Player of the Year. He scored, 21 goals or something like that. And so he just came into a system that wasn't suited for him, wasn't built around him as it was at Arsenal. And he struggled. And when you struggle on that much money, and when you struggle after doing the things that you did at Arsenal and doing the things you did at Barcelona, you're going to get the short shrift from football fans and fans in general. So I think it would be important, actually, when we look back on Alexis Sanchez in this English chapter, that we actually judge him predominantly on what he did at Arsenal and not at all what he did at Manchester United, because, for starters, it would be quite hard to find something good that he did at United.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he was kind of a convenient purchase for Manchester United at the time that became very inconvenient for both him and the club.
I think he's 31 years old now. And he's been playing since he was very young. And he's played a lot of international football as well. Chile have, won and gone deep in tournaments while he's been, toing and froing from between Europe and South America. And, there's a lot of miles on the clock. And for a player where his pace, even if it is an explosive pace and he can conserve his energy in the rest of the game, like that's going to tell sooner or later, isn't it? And I think we're at that point now.
Yeah. So, I remember reading at the time before Manchester United signed him that Arsene Wenger and some of the coaches at Arsenal had noticed different things about him. That he wasn't trying as hard, obviously because he had his eyes on a move away, but also that there was worries about his knees, about certainly that he developed some wear and tear that was suddenly being harder to fix. And obviously this is all being wise after the event, but some people were saying, well, actually you could kind of notice it in the first half of that season before he joined United in January. Are you of that opinion? Is that the case?
100%. It reminds me of when Liverpool sold Fernando Torres to Chelsea, and Chelsea were like, I can't believe you're doing this. And Liverpool fans were like, yeah.
We've done it.
Oh, no.
We've done it.
Oh, what have we done?
Time.
Yeah, it was. There's a bit of that, definitely. It was still, frustrating at the time, because Arsenal will have this problem of losing their stars to other teams, but yeah, it
on a free
worked
quite
out
often.
Terribly for everyone, didn't it? Including Henrik Mkhitaryan. It might be the worst transfer ever for every party. That just a disaster, just a 360 degree disaster.
Yeah, I think a lot of the hype around it as well was not obviously just because it was Alexis Sanchez, but because of what United had done to Arsenal by taking Van Persie as well.
Yes.
I think people thought, oh, they've done it again, and they hadn't.
We're going to skip on a little bit. I think I was going to ask if you resent Sanchez in the same way that Jim resents Ozil, but we can come.
I wouldn't say resent Ozil.
We can make a separate podcast on that, probably.
No, I don't resent Sanchez as well. No, I mean, we have in Ed Woodward a man who deserves a lot of slack for a lot of those kind of deals. So we don't need to share the spray.
No, absolutely no. Just keep the spray focused, particularly in these times of COVID. Spurs have got a signing, guys.
Yep.
Yeah. You're looking at me as if you brought something home. Can I stick it on the fridge? Yeah, go on then. Go on then, Kate.
Cat's brought in a dead mouse.
Højbjerg is going to join from Southampton. So it looks as though it's about 15 million. And to be honest, this has been going this has been filtering on in the background for quite some time. And it looked as though Southampton didn't really particularly want to talk about it in the early stages, because obviously he's a bit of a key player for those guys. He had said quite recently that he wants to win the Premier League and to win European Cups.
Who's he joining again?
Quite. I think it seems to me to be a really, I think we're all agreed that this seems like a pretty good signing for Tottenham.
Yeah, I think so.
In terms of getting a bit of defensive and productive solidity in midfield for that team.
And also a player who will, I think Mourinho will be able to improve him as well. He's what, 24, is he? So it may be even younger than that.
He turns 25 in August.
Right, yeah. Okay. So, I mean, he's in...
We're in August, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, happy birthday, Pierre.
But I think, it's 15 million is a snip, really.
Isn't
for,
it just?
For an established Premier League player who is improving, who is of a good age. And I think... this, again, it's the sort of business Spurs need to do, isn't it? We know that money's tight for because of COVID in a lot of situations. And obviously Mourinho has parameters to work within that he wouldn't normally have had at clubs he's been at before. So I think it's good business.
Why is he so cheap? I'm now suddenly doubting everything.
I think he's broken inside. I think if you shook him, you'd hear like rattling around. I think some pieces have gone loose. I think it's just because of the terms of his contract, really, and the fact that he openly wanted to go.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But the good thing for Spurs is that he's a very hard, combative player, and I think there are a few times at the end of this season, where we saw Gio Lo Celso doing a bit more of that graft, and perhaps actually, it'll be good to move him out of that and put someone hardened in like Højbjerg, so that Lo Celso can do all the little, you know, the other things. I remember watching a game where he, I think it was West Ham, he basically played as a number 10, but he ended up doing everything anyway.
Yeah.
But the stuff he did as a more advanced midfielder was brilliant, and I suppose you need a bit more of that. I mean, you know, you've watched a lot of Spurs this season. Is that the kind of player you need now?
Yeah, I absolutely think it is. And then one, I was thinking about the negatives of him when I started having this concern about the £15 million about 2 minutes ago. Which is that supposed to be that he's like a little bit impatient and he can sometimes shoot from distance and see glory, and that's a bit annoying. But I think that could be a positive attribute ultimately, because if he has got that kind of, you know, he's obviously trying to move his career on. He's, like you say, not in an unpleasant way, but he's said he wants to move to Tottenham. He wants to get up the table. He wants to do exciting things, and he's a little bit impatient. I think those are the qualities of a really good footballer.
Certainly the Jose Mourinho of old as well has been able to sort of smooth those edges of players. Mm. I mean, there's talk that he's perhaps not as effective at that as he was, but, you know, the fact he's making this signing at all like implies that he's, you know, going to do a bit of the old Jose coaching magic on him. So, yeah, I think we all saw that leaked video footage when Jose Mourinho was saying that Spurs maybe need to be a bit more C-bomb-y. And if he's, you know, if he's bringing in some sort of combative, hungry young midfielders, that clearly he's trying to sort of mould the team in a slightly different way.
Yeah, if you have a manager who's got a bad rep for curbing people's creativity, let it be a defensive midfielder who's a little bit too creative.
Yeah.
Yes.
And also, like, the difference is that, you know, he was playing in a Southampton midfield that was struggling, and now he'll play alongside players who we can actually see them doing the things that he would like to do better than he does them. And he can play a part in that by being, you know, more of a give-and-go player than somebody who takes ambitious shots. So, no, I think it's a very good signing all round, actually, yeah.
Yeah, brilliant. So we're all feeling positive, and that doesn't often happen. Winning suits you, by the way, Jim.
Oh, cheers. Cheers, mate.
He's been glowing since Saturday. He was so refreshed on Monday, and he's carried that over.
Yeah.
Good to see you refreshed after last week as well. Right, little glance into Europe, where, as we know, Serie A finished, so all the main leagues are now wrapped in Europe at the weekend. And Paulo Dybala has won the Serie A MVP. Now, there's one particularly big player in Serie A who he's overtaken, a teammate, no less.
Oh, I thought I was going to say Chris Smalling until he's a teammate, but
sorry. Got to make myself clear there. Cristiano Ronaldo. Now, what you get if you win the Serie A MVP is you get a little... like a badge, you know, like a badge from the Brownies that you can put on your kit. And in fact, Ronaldo won it last season, and he said he didn't want to wear the special little badge because he didn't want to be seen to be above his team.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think, well, maybe this says a lot about my mentality when I'm stepping over that white line, but that was too much pressure, isn't it?
I would like a crown, actually. Or a sash. A crown before, and then like a ceremonial, you know, taking off of the crown, obviously by someone else, before every game, and then I'll just wear a sash during it.
How would that fit with the protocols of COVID, Fish? Seems like you haven't really thought this through.
No, two long sticks with hands, solid hands, so that they don't have that much give.
Solid hands.
Around the crown from
modelled on mine, perhaps.
Picked up and then placed down, sprayed.
About a drone? Little drone.
Ooh, drop it on my head, yeah.
Yeah, risky, but...
Although,
you know.
I have a problem with caps and hats, and so it would have to come at exactly... You know, like to hit a perfect three-pointer, it would have to come at the right angle.
When you say you have a problem?
I just got a weird-shaped head.
All right.
Basically. So I've only suit certain hats.
Same.
So it would need to be dropped on perfectly. So I'd rather the simpler method of the two sticks with two hands... like chopsticks placed on my head.
So reports not yet in about whether Dybala will be taking the crown or the little fob.
It's all in on a fob today, aren't you? The one thing I realised from this, I think it's down to a a vote. I think it's basically, so it's a popularity contest.
Yeah.
And that's also, so inane, isn't it?
I know, but also Juventus, when they put this statement out on their website, they included a photo of Dybala, obviously, with Cristiano Ronaldo. And it was a bit like, well, we have to get him in here somewhere.
Yeah, he will go absolutely nuts.
Should we give him a byline on the statement? No, he'd hate that even more. Get him a photo. But I like that because I'm well in for, you know, when we see the voting records of like player of the year, world player of the year, stuff like that, and you can see people just being utterly petty.
Yeah.
I'm all for that kind of mess and pettiness.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, a popular vote that goes against Ronaldo is fine by me.
It's funny because the rest of the awards are for, they're all based on position. It's, you know, best goalkeeper through to best forward, and there's a best young player in there as well. So, but MVP is weirdly separate from that. Why do you need it? Yeah. Does this just push up his transfer price,
That's
really?
Such a good point. Like because obviously Immobile has won the striker. You know, he scored the most goals.
Yeah, that's the thing. If you're an MVP as well, surely that's the one thing that isn't down to everyone else's judgment.
Yeah, of course.
Surely that's the one thing you can measure, but their impact.
Like age variables and like length of the contract you're already on. Like it's a funny one. It's a weird one.
Reported that Ronaldo wanted to leave Juventus before the pandemic. So will this push him out the door?
Wasn't the talk that was like during a game? Like hasn't there's been a report on a Ronaldo sulk? Where it's during a game, even though they were winning, he was like, oh, I've had enough of this. I'm going to go to PSG.
Well, he also was rested a bit, wasn't he?
Yeah,
so, he was, yeah.
And there was a whole load of trying to impose, you know, our control on the club. Who is the most important person here, me or the boss?
Is he just going around trying to conquer the, you know, the biggest clubs?
I think he is, you know. He's like a superhuman, isn't he? Ronaldo, like with the most, doesn't he do something like 5,000 abdominal crunches a day? Crazy amount.
That's like twice as many as me.
I don't think I've done that many in my fucking life.
Yeah, it's a lot, isn't it? And they're deeply unpleasant when you do them. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. He does seem like someone who's trying to like make his legacy as impressive as possible. And so I wouldn't be surprised if he's like, I think he stated before that he wants to play till at least 40, and you wouldn't put it past him.
You can
him.
Absolutely see that.
Yeah, I think deep down he'll end up as some kind of like Dr. Manhattan figure. he's just full of radiation, huge and blue, and you know, with the power to take over the world with a single snap. Yeah.
Is there anything you've not achieved yet? Cristiano, omnipotence. Yes, I'm going to rule the universe with a Ronaldo fist. Don't know whether I'll be good or bad yet. We'll see.
And I'm just going to let it all hang out.
Some people could argue he has already achieved that. I don't know. The old Messi crowd, maybe not. But that's a debate for another day. There's European football tonight, guys. This slightly curious situation, whether it's just one leg for Inter against Getafe. So it's all on that one. Manchester United effectively playing an unnecessary leg, you could argue, given that they're 5-0 up against LASK. Interestingly, so that LASK are coming to Old Trafford, and in their pre-match, they sounded a little bit sad that it was going to be an empty Old Trafford because Old Trafford's capacity is 67,213 seats larger than that of the Raiffeisen Arena where LASK play.
Also, they're coming into a part of the country that is in local lockdown as well.
So God.
We're not too thrilled about that.
Oh, God, yeah. It is a shame, isn't it? You would, you know, obviously they're in the Europa League on merit, but you'd be excited about an away trip to Old Trafford, even if you are 5-0 down.
But you never know. It's the magic of the Europa League. Who knows what can happen? What can these LASK lads produce on the night? We shall see. It's not over till it's over. But for today, it is over for the Football Ramble. Pop your golden MVP crown on, Vish, and say goodbye.
Goodbye.
You can take your FA Cup winner's medal if you like, Jim.
Yeah, I will. And I do like it. Yeah, thanks, everyone. See you later on.
Tomorrow's show, it's Jules, Andy and Pete in your ears. I've obviously got no regalia because I'm a Spurs fan. But I will see you next time. Can't wait.
This was a Stakhanov production. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.